phonetics. You're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. And you just heard the Moguls there with Ski Bum. And as I said, you're listening to CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And who do we have in the studio today? Who are you?
My name is Wayne Overload Mercier. I'm a local performance poet and yelly, ranty guy, and I'm very pleased to be here in Nardwuar.
Well, thank you for coming to the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. Wayne, actually, speaking of yelling, et cetera, can you move a tiny bit
sure.
or pull the mic down?
Yeah.
Maybe
how's that?
Yank it right in your face.
Right in my... This is as close to my face as I can get without injuring myself.
That sounds just great. Wayne Overload. Overload Mercier.
Yes.
Mercier. Yeah. Although, I should say Overload. It kind of would sound good, wouldn't it? Wayne Overlord
it could,
Mercier?
But then I'd have to have a Lemmy kind of mustache goatee combination happening for the real intimidation factor of Overlord.
But it's still Overlord or Overloud.
There's that,
because
yeah.
you do hit him with the loudness, don't you?
Yes.
Now, people should
possible.
Be afraid when I say the word poetry, should they? They shouldn't be afraid, should they?
Not in the way they expect to be afraid. They should be afraid in a whole different way that they're not expecting.
Because you are right into it, aren't you?
You are right into this.
You are the complete package, aren't you?
I am.
Maybe a bit of background here, Wayne. Who the hell are you? Like, who are you?
I'm a guy from Sudbury, Ontario, originally, who has since then traveled across Canada sort of ranting at people to keep me from committing murder, because it was either yell at people or kill them. And, yelling at them keeps me out of jail.
And where did the yelling lead? Like, how did you end up doing yelling on a stage? Like, when did you actually go to the stage part?
Well, I was first on a stage when I was a young teenager, and I was in a punk rock band in Sudbury and hanging out with the crew at...
The Vapids?
No, we were much more obscure.
Paul Loewenberg.
No.
The Townhouse.
Yes.
The Townhouse.
Yes, off in the Townhouse. And we hung out
the
at CFLR.
That's his band, right?
Now, do you know Bleak? Have you ever heard of Bleak?
Was that your band?
No, that was a band that I hung out with. We were the Dinks. We were completely obscure. No one knew about us. We played one show. It was very punk rock.
You were in the Dinks?
I was in the Dinks.
Yeah, well, my band actually played with the Dinks.
Really?
In Thunder Bay.
And that was post me. I had to go off to university, but some of the guys kept it going, so that's really awesome.
Okay, well, the gig wasn't that great, so I
guess that's okay.
You were gone.
I left.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were in the Dinks.
I was in the
Dinks. You were a legendary Dinker, hence your request for Screeching Weasel.
Yes.
Because I guess the Dinkers were very Weasel-influenced,
weren't they? All the way into Screeching Weasel.
So you started out west then, out east then.
Well, I started in Sudbury, and then I moved to Halifax, and then after Halifax, I went to Nelson, and now I've been in Vancouver for about 3 years.
In Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and you're Wayne Overlord, Overload Mercier here live on the Narvoy Human Serviette radio show, and you're excited because you have a brand new book out.
I have a book. It's not even out yet. It's coming out on Wednesday, July the 7th, and the launch party is at the Crush Champagne Lounge. That's at 1180 Granville Street. The doors open at 7 p.m., and it goes from about 7 to 9:30-ish, and I have an excellent, excellent DJ, Mama Mish, coming in from Victoria to play down-tempo breaks and sort of kill 'em, mash 'em down breaks so that I can encourage the literary types who come out, and please, come out, literary types, to dance, because I don't think literary types dance enough.
So are they going to dance to you? Are the breaks underneath you?
Underneath. I do performance poetry, spoken word, and I MC as well.
So people are actually dancing to the poetry?
With any luck.
Now, is that the first time that's ever happened? Like, are you, blazing new ground? Or where did you get this idea?
Well, I started off working with DJs in Halifax, a crew of DJs called Vitamin Tribe from the Kootenays, and spent time living with them and hanging out with them. I'm doing Shambhala in Salmo in August. This will be my fifth year at it, and I'm also hosting a poetry slam at Shambhala this year, which will be very cool.
Now, Wayne, you mentioned Salmo, B.C.
Salmo, B.C., yes.
So if you can withstand people putting up with your poetry in Salmo, B.C., you can probably do it anywhere.
Those are some
hard crowds, aren't they?
They can be, yeah. We had a couple of years ago, the ranch that the festival is on was having a pipeline put through, so we had all these pipeline riggers and bulldozer drivers and stuff wandering around the party with several thousand freaky rave kids. It was really interesting.
So everything else is a cakewalk then compared to that, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And you are Wayne Mercier, who is actually going to be performing as well
yes.
at the West Coast Poetry Festival, right?
Yeah, with so many
Which
other talented
pretty exciting.
People. It's amazing.
You've got to give Sean, who's putting together, some props.
Total props.
Is it just Sean who's putting it together?
No, it's Sean and a bunch of other people that I don't know, so I can't mention their names, but I'm sure they've all been working their butts off just as hard as he has.
And this is pretty exciting because it is the biggest ever poetry festival in Canada.
There's like 50 poets from all across Canada, a lot of BC poets.
The biggest poetry festival in Canada, and you're part of it.
I am. I'm very pleased.
And that's going to be, that's next week, isn't it?
That's this weekend. It starts tonight. The opening is tonight at 6 o'clock at Harbour Center downtown, and it goes from about 6 till 9:30 tonight, and then all day tomorrow out at SFU. It starts at about 11 o'clock in, I can't remember what the big plaza up there is called, but it's an outdoor venue.
Convocation Mall, perhaps?
That's the one. And it will be going on all day there tomorrow. I'm on
at
like
6:30.
It's totally free, and it's more culture for your buck than you'll ever get, even though it's free. It's
the West Coast Poetry Festival.
Yes.
The West Coast Poetry Festival.
Indeed.
I can't believe I'm saying that, but it's the biggest one ever in Canada.
It's it. Yes.
Ever in Canada. And you, Wayne Overlord Mercier, are all part of that. You fit right into this, don't you? You fit right in.
Well, we'll find out.
You fit right. Well, let's actually find out right
all
now.
Right.
What do you have to offer? Because I understand you're the total package, Wayne.
All right. This is, I'm going to do...
When are you going to be? So your book launch is tomorrow?
My book launch is Wednesday the 7th at Crush Champagne Lounge at 7 o'clock, 1180 Granville Street. I am on tomorrow at 6:30 at Convocation Mall up at SFU, but you should be there much earlier than that, because starting at 11 and going straight through till about 7:30 at night are tons and tons of poets, page poets, performance poets, poets from all over the country and everywhere from all kinds of traditions and styles, and they're all going to be pulling out their best shit and just crushing your brains with it.
The biggest poetry event in Canadian history.
Yes.
Okay, Wayne Mercier, play the blues!
My head hums with radio favorites, and every time I blink, I get flashes of tightly scripted SFX scenes, precision-timed explosions snapping to a tight pock. pop hook. Cocklebirds of culture grab hold of a body. Barbed harbingers of a future coded in symbol transmission. Limited single vision figmenting tall tale maybe wills into what seems like it might have happened once in somebody else's memory. Copious raptures descend as mana cascading in electric sky, electric eye, radio freak ID. Blind quietly bound horizons at the number of the beast, but still this meat persists, resisting hopelessness. Hard talons, jaws locked and clenched fists, sleepy mornings making love, raw avarice, organs rotting, teeth gone yellow, and all of us all so beautiful, shining like cop spotlights at a crime scene. Paranoid, creepy figures stutter at the mini-mall, mother's milk and Demerol, Prozac relaxed and steady, insulated, dark legs starved thin, totter dotted with bleeding lesions, feet crammed into runway fashions, hair gone red with quartiocore, left-right step in time, electric eye, radio freak ID, my people. When I see in our sights a cupful of shattered glass, a rosette of vintage precision settles efficiently onto a wall of voodoo, on which a cryptic, lyptic missive twists, writhing in the physic grip of missile shields and heat sinks. An autochthon rainbow in stranded light burns in a cauldron of carbon compounds, seething with the need to be, undergoing catastrophic undulation, machine dream time, electric eye, radio freak ID. And this is one that's actually in the book.
And that is Wayne Mercier, Wayne Overlord, if I can. Can I call you the Overlord?
You can call me just about anything you like, Nardwuar the Human Serviette.
Well, what I was wondering was, Wayne, you were mentioning about the Dinks and Bleak and the punk rock bands back east, or at least knew about. What do you think about that scene for doing poetry or doing spoken word? For instance, like Jello Biafra right now is out on the road doing spoken word. But I understand that even he is having... I shouldn't say trouble, but he's playing to a new audience because he's opening up for Fat Mike's punk voter tour.
Right.
So he's like on the same bill as like NOFX, David Cross, the comedian, and then there's Jello trying to get something across. What is your experience in like doing that sort of thing? Have you ever done anything with bands? I mean, could you have stuck doing it with bands? Were you forced to move to poetry or slam, which I haven't actually asked about? I didn't want to mention the word slam. I don't know if that was dirty or not.
Yeah.
But is what you're doing slam, and would it fit in with spoken word?
What I do, I do compete in poetry slams, but I also do stuff beyond that. Poetry slam is an excellent format, but it limits you to 3 minutes, and sometimes I just feel the urge to talk to people for longer than 3 minutes at a time, and so I need to go off more. I haven't worked a lot with bands. I would love to. Any bands listening that want a spoken word artist or a vocalist of any kind to work with them, please get in touch with me. www.8prime.net, eightprime.net. That's me. You can find me there. And
I was going to say, actually, Wayne, a bit later on the Nardwuar the Human Serviette radio show, Mark Arm of Mudhoney and perhaps Wayne Kramer of the MC5 are going to be phoning into the Nardwuar the Human Serviette radio show. Perhaps a bit later on the Nardwuar the Human Serviette radio show. But I wanted to mention, you know, the beginning of the MC5 record where the White Panther did his little rap, you know, kick out the jazz motherfuckers. You know, he does the brothers and sisters. So maybe people do want to have their own little White Panther.
That could be.
You, Wayne Mercier. And you can go check out Wayne again. This is going to be next week at SFU, and also next week, the same day?
It's tomorrow at SFU, starting at 11 o'clock, and next week, next Wednesday, July 7th, at the Crush Champagne Lounge, 1180 Granville Street, 7 o'clock. And go there, and we'll crush you.
So when you walk in to do your poetry to an audience, can you tell if they're going to be receptive or not just by looking at them? Like, I was just trying to get back again to the band thing.
Yeah.
Like, could have you stuck doing it opening for bands, or did you ever do it opening for bands, or can you size up the audience? I'm just curious, or like, you know what I mean? Like, I was mentioning about Jello.
Yeah.
I don't want to harp on Jello and bring him down or anything, but you know what I mean? Like, he's playing to this audience. It's like, we want David Cross. We want NOFX.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily the audience used to go see him in his own spoken word things, which sell out everywhere, but it's a bit different. What's that like?
Well, because his spoken word stuff is sort of more laid back because he's actually speaking and trying to communicate something. I did the Folk Fest last year, and a number of poets were doing sets between bands during changeovers and stuff, and we did one set opening for Spearhead, and right before Spearhead was like this gospel band, so there was a lot of changeover in the crowd. The gospel people didn't really necessarily want to see Spearhead, and so I got up and people were milling around and stuff, and then I started talking and I stunned the crowd into silent immobility, and they were all paying attention to me and listening, which was really, really great. It's my favorite thing thing to do. Is just, you know, you get up on stage, you've got no band, you've got no nothing, you're looking kind of dirty and unkempt and confused, and then you start talking, and they're all like, holy crap! And they just sit there and are goggled and in awe, and that's my very, very favorite thing.
Oh, is it harder to do it when everybody's listening except one person? Wouldn't it be, like, better if, like, 10 people aren't listening? Like, when it's just one person that's not listening, but everybody else is that distracting?
No, if one person's not listening, you just pick them out and talk straight to them. I did a open stage at the Pick Pub several weeks ago, and there were these construction guys there. They had very obviously been working a dirty road job all day. They were still in their work clothes. They were sucking back pints, and I got up on stage, and I started to do poetry, and they were looking all disgruntled. And I've got a piece that I'll do a little bit later that has a refrain, spare some change. And so I started doing that. They started throwing coins at me and stuff. And so
which
then
is good. You want money.
Oh, yeah. It was great. And but then I just started performing to them, and by the time I was done, I got off stage, and they came up, and they hugged me and stuff and told me I was awesome, and I was all dirty because they were dirty road crew guys, but it was really awesome.
Now, while you're performing, Wayne, it isn't just, like, words. There's actually some content there, too, isn't there?
I like to think so.
Jell-O has content, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jell-O has the content. What sort of content are you doing? What sort of stuff are you covering? Or can you give us another example?
I'll give you another example. This poem is called All the Unsung, and it covers just about everything.
Now, when you go in these competitions and stuff, like the slam competitions, I'm kind of figuring out you've probably been in these slam competitions, etc. Et cetera. How have you done?
I've failed to make the Vancouver Slam team for the last 4 years by narrow margins, but the people who have made it are so talented and so amazing that I don't mind at all, because it's a pleasure.
What did they talk about? Like, they don't quite have the content, because Sean was saying that your book, you have the delivery and you have the content. The guy was hyping me on that.
Right.
So, like, what did the other slammers talk about? Is your stuff more interesting? For instance, like, is it just like in rap, or like that a tongue twister, where he's just like the fastest rapper in the world? It's just like to get as many words out as you possibly can. I mean, do you get any extra marks for maybe having a bit of content in there, like talking about a bit of the Ragnarok?
I'll do the Ragnarok piece later, too. The content stuff is, my content tends to be a little bit more, it's dense and wrapped up more. A lot of other people try to make their presentation as clear as possible and connect with the audience in that way, because they realize that they've only got 3 minutes, and so they're very deliberately trying to cram as much connection with the audience and as much communication into that time as possible. Because my stuff is, a lot of it, not specifically written for slam, I just take the stuff that's under 3 minutes and perform it at slams and do reasonably well.
So you do it pretty quick then?
Yeah, I can go very, very,
so
very,
like,
quick.
One slammer might only say something like 100 words, and you might say like 500, right?
Yeah,
I mean, they utilize silence. You don't utilize silence too much, in other words.
No, it's if I utilize a silence, it's generally shorter, and I fill it up with words.
And here we have Wayne Mercier, Overlord Mercier. Tomorrow, Wayne's going to be at SFU, right?
Yes.
Tomorrow at SFU, Convocation Mall, for the West Coast Poetry Festival, which is the biggest poetry event in Canadian history.
Yes.
People shouldn't be afraid by the word poet. I'm sorry to even assume that people would be afraid, but I used to be afraid by the word poetry.
That's okay.
Here's some poetry by Wayne!
All right. Navigating creator matrix, shift blister, pantoclasm assailed with scented wailings, drifting mist net shivers, twisting traces of genesis. No blood of angels, no vicious fire, no artifacts stashed in my golden reliquary headset. This trail to Arcadius gives matrix envelope open doorless as destiny flees the spear of closely reasoned crack jabber levity sendings. So we feel low, so this I must to the genuine article send the message. Signal unheeded, perhaps amid the endless clatter, mad chattering, chittering, jib dribbler, ad phonetics, rippling daily flow zones, crackling neural flab spasms, sodded with trickle-dumb numbskull artifice, twisted acquisitive reptile avarice, enmeshed in an edifice of metaphor, soaring blue blank space transmission, eating history, mouths stuffed haggis-like with entrails, tripe-tongued soundbite-sized flap doodles stained with mully grubs, recursive pangloss, saucy obtuseness with a side of high anxiety. Order up trouble from the quarter where it's best expected, stand and deliver kicks lickety-split, living an aesthetic comedose, hoping for metempsychosis. The prolongation waxes fatly geriatric, genially feeding its progeny Prozac, medicated to maintain a constant homogeneous allegiance to the stable state. Static mindset like concrete, gray matter aggregate, arteries hardening, raster out a rising shrine to the great chain of competitive victim theory. Take theodolite readings on our war wounds, play my wound is bigger than your wound, and find somebody to blame. Here we stand atop our understanding, capable of integrating the gestalt of full physical force into the frontiers of the most high intelligence, creating the plagues of a vengeful god's approach. A part of the global hive mind attainment writhes in the hands of geriatric patriarchs bestowing nightships and fiefdoms, waging fiber optic knife fights, black ops spy night missions, rubbing up their nukes, thraldoms, control schemes, mindshare psionics, learned words by rote disguising ideology, like we need more goddamn idols. And for these, the Thane of the Beast brings peace to save the world at the hour of Armageddon. For 1,000 years, he will reign before the time of judgment. What bullshit! Still more comply to the hive mind conformity, party authority, adherence to the rules of the game gets one rewarded, one of the many, always one of the many, working towards a higher desire for human efficiency, a design based on the technology of the steam engine and assembly line, inefficient basic building block concepts like trying to build Babel exclusively of basic Lego, blocks and walls and the tribal almighty consume another chunk, honed honor unsatisfied and revenge rendered vindictively, propaganda posters emblazoned brazenly on the crude walls of mud huts trading in grain and bullets. There is the vanishingly small percentage of the technocryptic dreamland parsing strange linguistics in high immersion scene fields, adopting the roles of various magi, vicariously mighty, pale from cathode lighting. These and all the unsung.
Wayne Mercier, live on CIT. I wasn't sure if he was using pause there for dramatic sort of license for it. See, I hope I didn't cut into you.
No, that was the end.
Okay, I didn't cut into you.
Wayne
Mercier, live on CIT. Wayne Overlord Mercier, live here on CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Wayne is performing tomorrow as part of the West Coast Poetry Festival, the biggest poetry event in Canadian history. What is the Canadian history regarding poetry? Margaret Atwood,
Milton Acorn, Al Purdy,
George Bowring,
bless his little soul.
He doesn't really like the slamming, does he?
He likened it to watching a dog walk on its hind legs, and my sister-in-law has a very small dog that walks on his hind legs, and people think it's very cute. So if nothing else, we'll all get up on stage and you'll think we're very cute, even if you think the poetry is just terrible.
Will there be any fights? Because what's this West Coast Poetry Festival? There'll be some slammers and some non-slammers, and be some people maybe that aren't into your stuff, and people that aren't. Well, do you think there'll be any interesting fights?
People are free to be into or not into to my stuff, or I think anybody else's stuff, and there may not be any fights, but there'll probably be some making fun of people when they're not around.
Really?
Well, they're almost always
is. Would you partake in that?
I make fun of everybody, whether or not they're around or not. I'm impartial that way.
Does anybody try to persecute the slammers? I understand that cops are not really fond of slammers. That there was like a slam event that was busted by the cops. What is the world coming to when the cops bust a poetry event?
Poetry is dangerous, Nardwar. The only thing, you know, about as dangerous as poetry is punk rock, and punk rock changed everything, for me at least, so... Yeah, we should be scaring the police. If we're scaring the police, we're doing our jobs.
What happened there? The cops busted a slam event?
Well, it was the finals, and the venue filled up, and there were like 100 people lined
up
down the block.
When was
it? It was at Café du Soleil in late April, early May, I think, at Café du Soleil on the drive. And, the venue was filled up. There were people lined up outside and people watching from outside and milling about for poetry. And there were so many people standing around, they figured it must be some kind of riot or dangerous thing, and they had no idea it was poetry, and they were probably very surprised. But they went away and left us mostly unmolested, except for, you know, being thuggish goons and all, but they're cops, that's what they pay them for.
Do people like poets? Those cops didn't like the poets, did they? How do you convince somebody you're a poet? How do you convince the cops you're doing poetry and not doing something bad?
Well, I don't know how you convince a cop of anything, really, is my problem. I get stopped about once a year by policemen thinking I'm some kind of never-do-well. I was out in Port Moody doing a poetry show, and I went for a walk before I got on stage, and on my way back to the venue, the Port Moody police stopped me and wanted to see my ID and wanted to know what I was doing, and... they seemed to believe me when I told them I was a poet, but I don't know what they thought.
I'm not in Port Moody doing poetry.
Yeah. What else would I be in Port Moody for?
It worked.
It was sort of miraculous, really.
Why do you think they pulled you over? Why did they come over to you?
Because I was a stranger in their little town, and I don't know, I'm tattooed and kind of hairy and unkempt, and they probably thought I was there to spirit off their daughters into white slavery or something. I don't know.
And Wayne, you're also into the Ragnarok. What is the... I'm fascinated by the Ragnarok. I know some guys that were in a band, a Nordic metal band,
yes,
many years ago called Thorsen, and they have songs like Ragnarok, etc.
Yeah.
What is the Ragnarok?
Ragnarok is the mythic end of the world in Norse mythology. So that's when Loki and all the giants wage war against Odin and all the gods, and Thor is eaten by the Midgard serpent, and everything kind of falls to bollocks, and there's, you know, the age of darkness and the crashing down of everything, and yeah, the whole deal.
And have you introduced these themes into your poetry?
I've used the word Ragnarok in my poetry. I talk a lot about the end of the world and global socioeconomic collapse and stuff, because I think if you're not worried about that, then you're probably watching too much television.
Are you ready to do some Ragnarok right there?
I can do that, yeah. I don't even have to read anything. I've got that memorized. It's called politics. Everybody seems to like politics. Personal politics, impersonal politics, politics of the future, past, and present tenses. So let's talk politics. Really talk politics. The art of the human pruning Ginsu blade bonsai trick. You, them, us, me, we, shattering ego divisiveness. Scratch my back, I'll pro your quo. You're all right with this? It goes up like this. I remembered my name when the hurricane came. Heard the story of a glory lord. He thirsts for fame, enraged me, inflamed me. With this longing for simplicity, I never felt much but shouldered in to the hurl and the burl of a techno-desolate plane of desire for higher endeavor. Rights to vanquish our foes and subjugate the weather. But whether or not we believe it or not, ready or not, it comes. Hero pass, passing drafty, windswept sensation in and out till the breath lofts our lungs. Thoughts, frames, confessions made. A tale of an idiot who, on a stage made of splinter and thistle, incarnate in vase imbued, blazing with sudden sharp radiant light, afire, affrighted, amazed, intoning a hoary old chorus, imploring an end to the end of days. Bugger the eschaton, Ragnarok this, yeah, I'd rather rock and roll. Better an age of quarrel than any thermonuclear storm soon coming the day after's too late. Can't take back a shot or the buck of a pistol crack, dagger thrust cut. Can't take back the capsule of biocontaminant. Can't take back the lives smashed flat with this idiocy of murder and greed. Hunger for profit in light of the need for food and for shelter, for water and sky, for air and for grass, and one damn reason why to wake up in the morning. Wipe the gnarly remnants of the night before out your eyelids and remember that you heard this, 'cause word is we burn quick like a matchstick struck in a high wind. I don't care what you do when you next get the chance to do it. When you act, you best do so with your will figured sure, 'cause the truth is that even a swiftly burning tiny pile of sulfur struck right gives a little light.
Wayne Overlord! You don't mind me saying that. I keep saying it over and over again. I just love it. Wayne Overlord! Mercier live on the Nardwuar Human Serviette radio show, and Wayne's going to be at the West Coast Poetry Festival, .com. That's
yes.
You're going to be at the .com. If
yes.
people want more information, West Coast Poetry Festival, .com, and tomorrow Wayne's going to be at SFU, Burnaby Campus, the Convocation Mall. And there's going to be some other people there at 6:30 p.m., a free event, and all the poetry is free all day, isn't it?
Yes.
All as part of the West Coast Poetry Festival. So you've got a brand new book out,
and
the book also has a CD with it.
Yeah.
Explain a bit about the book and the CD and how that all came together.
It all came together when $10 Words, the publishing company, invited me out for coffee and sat me down and said, hey, you want to do a book? And I said, sure, I'd love to do a book. And then we talked about what would be in the book and what would not be in the book, and I gave them a whole whack of stuff, and we picked stuff that would be in it. And then we went into a studio with a woman named Wynn who did the audio tech stuff and recorded. We did two sessions, about 4 hours each, and I stood in a hot, cramped kind of little room with a microphone stuck in my face and yelled at the microphone for 4 hours over two successive days. And out of that, we've got 21 tracks of
can you read along, like a children's book?
You could, yeah. Yeah, you
is it in order that you can do that?
Yeah, all there's.
So you put the CD in and pick up the book and read
yeah,
along with Wayne.
There's tracks from the book that aren't in the CD, and I completely fail to go bing at the end of each piece. But if I did that, it would be perfect. But I didn't think of it at the time.
For the reprint.
Yeah, for issue two. Maybe we'll bring you in, Nardwuar, and you can make the binging sound.
Oh, thank you. That will be a real honor. Wayne Mercier, as part of the West Coast Poetry Festival happening this weekend, and also his own book launch next week. That's next week.
Next week.
That's next week, with DJs playing underneath
with
you as
DJ
well.
DJ Mama Mish coming over from Victoria, and she's doing really well over there. She just had Crafty Cuts come in and play her Canada Day party, so she was pretty stoked about that, and yeah.
Now, so Sean is putting together the West Coast Poetry Festival. He mentioned to me another artist, not yourself, I think, that records his stuff to vinyl and then has
Wade Compton.
Yeah, can you explain a bit about that?
I've never seen Wade Compton. I've only heard about him. But so far as I can tell, what he does is he has readings from other poets, and I think himself pressed to vinyl, and then he, on the spot, reconstructs pieces of poetry, recombining and sampling those vinyl pressings, and I think he probably reads himself over that. So he makes, on the spot, mashups of different poets and performers that he puts together, and it's it's recombinant vinyl poetry.
Now, is he going to be part of the West Coast Poetry Festival?
He is. Yes.
For free.
For free.
And when is that? When is he performing, you know? Not to plug him and not you, but I mean...
Come and see it all. I don't know offhand where he's when he's performing, but I know it's up on the website at www.westcoastpoetryfestival.com, and you can find the whole schedule there, and he's one of many, many people performing, all of whom are fantastically talented, and I expect really great things out of this weekend.
And if people want to contact you again, Wayne, what's your contact info?
You can get a hold of me on through my webpage at www.8prime.net. 8prime is EIGHTPRIME.net. And there's a little button there that you can contact me, and I keep a weblog and some pictures, and I also make music, so there's some beats and stuff up online that you can listen to.
What do you aspire to, Wayne? What do you aspire to? Like, what can you hope to aspire to in the slam poetry world? Okay. Like, who can you look up and say, well, I want to be that? You know, like, you can look up and say, I want to be Screeching Weasel, because you did have a request for Screeching Weasel, and we will honor that request.
Yes!
We will honor that Screech. But you can look up and say, I want to be Weasel, you know, if you're a rocker. You say, I want to be Ben Weasel. I don't know why anybody would, but you could. No, actually, he's written a couple books himself. He's written some books and stuff, and he's a great lyricist, etc., has great stories. You can be, I want to be Ben Weasel, but how about from the poetry or local slamshing? Is there anybody that you look up to that you want to boss, or are you just blazing your own trail?
I'm kind of blazing my own trail. Where I'd like to be headed is sort of the Canadian rural version of Future Sound of London, who's a musical, electronic musical group out of London, and they've got a bunker in London, and they just pipe in media feeds and into their studio, and they just edit and recombine stuff for their music. But my sort of dream is to have a compound with a bunch of pit bulls up on Anarchist Summit outside of Soyuz, but my wife won't let me call it the compound, so I have to refer to it by some other term that doesn't conjure images of, you know, barbed wire and guns.
Wayne, why don't you give us a last little taste of you?
Okay. All right. Here we go. Bomb seeks trigger. Yes, you've got it, sus. This system set to overload. Fuse on fire. And the ticker timing to explode. One fine day. And the pin's pulled. The film's exposed. Like a bolt of sunlight on a still gray sea, like a halo of fire from a flintstone struck on steel, like a sliver of camphor on an ember flaring up like a butterfly, crushed in a prayer wheel. A complex pudding of dense gray matter inhabits every noggin, every nagging lullaby you've ever heard, or its equivalent lingers, every memory encapsulated separately in a living instance of time-bound. People are not mirrors. Other eyes look back. Spare some change, please. Spare some change. Could you possibly spare some change, please? Spare change. Spare change. Spare change. Ah! Sometimes I feel like a hurricane. Whirlwind, whip, razor blade. Tornado of truculence. Wound up with rage. A monsoon inferno. Typhoon fortissimo. Walking catastrophe. Pillar of flame. My footsteps step furious. Surly and curious. I ponder injurious action to take against greed and corruption. I plot deconstruction by witness of strictures which limit and chafe. Channeled. Trammeled. Remote control lives. Dwarfed by the size of our dead merchandise. Thwarted by programs played in abstract with statistical modules enacted as fact. I curse and admonish, howl and shout, trying most truly to get the word out. Though my pockets are empty, there's no loose coin there. I'm ready and able. I have change to spare. And every breath of the wind sets a thousand stones rolling. Every kiss is a knife in the night. Every crowned head thinks beneath a sword on a thin thread. And we're all wearing laurel tonight. Every answer is a question. Every lesson is a lie. Every action has an echo, and the echoes multiply. And I dream of a new day, a new dawn, a new scene. A golden tiger, bolt of lightning, striding city streets, stepping razor, big steps thrusting. Raw hands into a red blast furnace molding. Hot coals with iron fingers. A dream of kamikaze dive bomb screaming motherfuckers, raising up a ruckus. Kicking up a fuss, trucking high-grade payloads at just sub-supersonics, a dream of fresh flowers and candle silence. Because when the blow strikes home, you know, commitment is total. And a lit fuse smolders towards the cap where a rose of the sun must bloom. When bomb seeks trigger, and the word goes BOOM!
Wayne over Loud Mercier, who will be performing tomorrow as part of the West Coast Poetry Festival. That isn't just tomorrow. It's a whole bunch of days,
it's,
right?
It's, tonight is the big opening and the kickoff and the gala thing at Harbor Center downtown. It starts at 6 o'clock. And then tomorrow, starting at 11 o'clock and going all day, is the Poetry Festival up at SFU.
The biggest poetry event in Canadian history. Well, thank you for it. I said it kind of lightly, but wait a second. Let's just go back and revisit that. The biggest poetry event
in Canadian history.
It really is. That's
enormous.
And you're part of it. You're part of the very first one.
I'm honored and pleased.
And you are Wayne Mercier. And Wayne, you have a request here as we leave now with Screeching Weasel.
Yes.
Any sort of background on the weasel or a bit more on your early rock and roll history, like the Dinks and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of what got me into writing, and especially writing the way I do, is listening to punk rock lyrics. The first time I heard Bad Religion's No Control album when I was like 15, 16, and it occurred to me that loud, angry sentiment didn't have to be expressed stupidly. And it could be, you know,
expressing it stupidly is fun, though, isn't
expressing it stupidly is amazing. Without that, where would we be? We'd have nothing to do but talk in hoity-toity voices to everyone about important matters of the day. And that would be no fun at all. So, yeah, I started listening to Bad Religion, and I've been influenced by No Means No as well, because they're just awe-inspiring. And I saw Rob Wright probably 7 or 8 years ago when he was touring solo, and he just came out with his bass in you know, his outfit, and looked at everyone very sternly and busted out with 0 + 2 = and just killed everyone. And so the idea of one person standing up there just doing that started to be something that I wanted to do, because it was so much power concentrated into such a small amount of space of, you know, one person and their head and their voice, that I wanted to be that guy, except I don't play bass, so
Rob would be good at the West Coast Poetry Festival, wouldn't he?
I would love to have him. That would be
Did those
fantastic.
Songs end up on No Means No Records? I know that one you just mentioned did.
Yeah.
But did a lot of those songs end up on No Means No Records?
Yeah,
or did those just the solo Mr. Wrong stuff?
No, like The River, which was originally, I think, a solo Mr. Wrong record, ended up on Cats, Sex, and Nazis. And there were a couple other ones. They did a 7-inch that had a really, really great cover of Rob Wright doing The End of the World, just him and his bass. Don't they know it's the end of the world? It was fantastic. So I don't think that made it onto a No Means No record, but yeah, lots of them did.
And now some Screeching Weasel.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much for coming in, Wayne. Anything
else you
want to add to the people out there at all?
Support the Vancouver poetry scene in general, especially the slam scene. There's stuff going on first and third Monday of every month all through the summer. We've got one team going down to the Nationals and also going out to the first annual Canadian Spoken Word Olympics in Ottawa in October. And over the course of the summer, Vancouver will be picking a second scene, because we have the longest-running slam scene in Canada. It's been going since 96. Since then, all but 1 year, we've sent a team down to the Nationals in the States and have done really well. And Shane Koizan, who's a local guy, local poet, won in 2000. He beat out, like, everybody in all of North America, all the slam poets, and he's still involved and still doing really amazing stuff. Brendan McLeod, who's the first rookie to make the team in, like, 6 years, is really amazing and going for it. C.R. Avery, who's a local legend, beatbox, harmonica, poet guy, is also on the team going down, as is Barbara Adler, who last year or the year before that was the youngest team member in, I think, all of slam history. I don't think she was actually legal to go into the bars where she was performing when she was down there, but well, she did anyways and did really well. And so all of those people are on the slam team. Support them. Support your local poetry slam and your local poetry
community. Buy your book.
Buy my book, yes, which will be out in local stores sometime after
the 7th. And what's the title? We didn't get the title.
The title is Opsithai, which is a Greek verb, apparently, meaning to be about to see. So to be kind of on the edge of seeing, but you haven't seen something yet.
And make sure you get one to CITR so we can play the audio version.
Yes.
It comes with the extra CD. It's like,
yeah, because I can't always be here.
Thank you very much for coming today, though, Wayne.
Thank you,
Wayne Overlord Mercier. So keep on rocking in the free world and doot 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 doot.
Doot doot.
Ping, ping. You know what that means, Nina?
Ping, ping. Now, wait, don't tell me. I know it's someone's initial.
I had to ask a dingbat a question to get a dingbat in.
Again, you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. And who do we have on the line right now? Are you there, caller?
I'm not the caller. You're the caller. You called me.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just pretend that you are the caller. Who are you?
I am Mark Arm.
Mark Arm, how the hell are you?
I am very well, thank you. How the hell are you?
Very excited, Mark Arm, because you're coming to Vancouver, BC, Canada this Sunday with the MC5.
Sunday.
Sunday at Richards on Richards, and you're phoning from your luxurious bus traveling to Portland, heading to Vancouver, BC, Canada. Can you explain, Mark, a bit about the MC5? What's going to be happening on Sunday?
Well, the official name of the band is DKT MC5, since, as you know, two of the main original members are no longer with us. So the DKT stands for Davis Thompson Kramer, which is Michael Davis, Dennis Thompson, and Wayne Kramer. And augmenting the three are Marshall Crenshaw on guitar and some vocals, and myself and Evan Dando on more vocals.
And together...
And actually, in Vancouver, I understand that Mr. Joseph Shithead will be guesting on a song or two, or maybe more.
How do you work who does what songs? Because the other night on the Craig Kilborn show, we saw the MC5 with both Evan Dando and you, Mark Arm, performing together, doing Kick
That's
Out
the... That's right. Kick Out the Jams is pretty much a gang vocal number.
So will Joey Shithead perhaps be joining you for that one? How do you decide?
Perhaps. I do not know what song he wants to do or what songs he wants to do, but I'm looking forward to partying with him on the rock and roll stage.
And if for some reason people have no idea who you are, Mark Arm, who are you? Maybe you could just briefly update
who
people.
Am I?
Yeah, maybe you could...
I'm the guy on the phone.
You're the guy on the phone. You're Mark Arm. But Mark, perhaps your musical history from the beginning, if you could, quickly.
From the beginning?
From the Mr. Epp.
Okay. There was the band Mr. Epp, and then there was the band Green River, and then there was the band The Thrown Ups, and then there was the band... The Mudhoney, and then there was the band Monkey Wrench, and there was also Bloodloss in there somewhere, too. And there's more that you've never heard of, but it doesn't matter.
And now the MC5, Mark. What the hell? This is wild. Like, a little while back, weren't you involved in some sort of Stooges project, or at least something to do with the Velvet Goldmine movie? You did all those Wild Rat songs, right?
Yeah, not all of them. I didn't do all the Wild Rat songs, but I went out, they did two different recording sessions, and I wasn't able to come out for the second one. But the first one, which we did a bunch of Stooges covers and two of Ron Ashton's new original numbers. And then they did, on the second recording session, they did a bunch more original numbers, but I wasn't there for that, unfortunately, because I was in the middle of a Mudhoney tour.
So you've done kind of some Stooges-type stuff, and then now you're, like, doing MC5. What's next, Mark?
I don't know. Maybe Bob Seger. I don't know what's next.
And I did play, actually, speaking of Bob Seger, I did play, before you came on, a tune off this great comp called At the Hideout by The Underdogs, was the name of the band. Friday at the Hideout by The Underdogs, and they were a 60s band out of Detroit, kind of from that same scene, pre-MC5. Has Wayne, the lead guitarist of the MC5, has he talked about any of the early days stuff at all to you, Mark?
Oh, yeah. You know, I did an interview with them for the local Seattle Weekly known as The Stranger, and we talked about the early days at length, and you can go to thestranger.com and look it up. There's two versions. There's the version that they have in the paper, which is sort of the abbreviated version, and there's also a link to the full transcript.
I appreciate you mentioning that, Mark, because actually we are speaking to you on a cell phone, and what's really great about your cell phone is every time you stop speaking, it sounds like you're on a CB. It kind of, like, cuts out totally. Over?
I heard part of what you said, but I'm not quite sure all of what you said, what that was. Something about a TV and over.
No, I was just saying that your cell phone is amazing. It sounds like a CB, Citizens Band Radio.
Oh, right, right.
That every time you speak, the audio cuts out after you speak, so it's really great. It's like a CB.
Roger that.
Yeah, Roger. Yeah, maybe if you just want to say over at the end of every sentence.
Okay.
Okay, over.
Okay, over.
Over. Okay, over, bend over. Now, Mark Arm of Mudhoney, now that you're singing for the MC5, what sort of banter are you doing now? Are you doing any of the MC5 classic banter, like thank you, get down, brothers and sisters?
I do say thank you. Most of the rest of the stuff, I dispense with the brothers and sisters stuff. That's not, you know, I don't know.
How
over.
Over, bend over. Mark Arm of Mudhoney, singing for the MC5, coming to Vancouver this Sunday night to Richards on Richards. Is it true that on stage in the olden days, the MC5 only said, thank you, get down?
No, that's not true. I've heard live recordings. They've said other things like Starship, a song called Starship.
And Mark Arm, what about the dance steps? Because there were dance steps that the MC5 did.
Yeah, there were. We haven't been made to learn any of those. Wayne will bust out some dance moves periodically.
How about the...
But no one's all dancing the same steps at the same time, like you might see in some old MC5 footage.
Yeah, what about the back bends, Mark Arm of Mudhoney? The back...
The what?
The back bends. You know, bending the back...
Oh, you mean the simultaneous guitar playing back bends as they go down to the floor?
Yeah, I was wondering, do Marshall Crenshaw and Wayne Kramer still do that?
That hasn't happened yet.
And also wondering, Mark Arm, and we're speaking here to Mark...
You know, the back... First go the knees and then go the back.
Indeed, over, bend over. And we're speaking here to Mark Arm of Mudhoney, who is filling in the lead vocals for the MC5. Should I say the word filling in, or how do you phrase it? Like, are you guest vocalist? How does it all
work? I think guest would be filling in guest. I don't know. You know, it's not a permanent position by any means.
And it's this Sunday, and at Richards on Richards, the MC5, local band The Nastion, is also appearing. And I was wondering further, Mark Arm, what's it like eating on the road with Wayne? What is it like eating with Wayne Kramer? What is it like eating with Wayne Kramer?
What is it like eating with him?
Yes.
It's a good time.
Because way back when, is it true, Mark Arm, this is MC5 lore, that way back when, Wayne Kramer only had the MC5 eat cottage cheese and T-bone steaks for 6 months?
You know, I don't know anything about that, but at this point he only eats yellow food, and he's moving towards eating nothing. He's a breatharian.
Because way back when, it was said, you know, they lived on a big ranch on a farm with guns, and Wayne forced everybody to eat cottage cheese and T-bone steaks. So is he forcing you to eat anything?
I don't know anything about that. That might be part of John Landau's regimen for getting the band into shape for back in the USA. I've heard, like, Dennis talk about how the band ate nothing but yogurt for a while or something like that, but I don't really know.
Yeah, it seemed to me that there was some sort of regiment for getting the band in shape, because I was looking at a fanzine, and there was an interview with Michael Davis. We should go over the other members of the MC5. Who is Michael Davis?
Michael Davis is the bass player.
Who is on tour with the MC5?
He is on tour with the MC5.
And there's a little quote, and he says, "I remember after we moved out to the country, the band insisted on Rob Tyner, that's the lead singer, running 50 laps around the house on a daily basis to lose weight so he could look like more of a rock star." What do you think about that there, Mark Arm? Are you being forced?
I wasn't there. That's a funny story.
I was just wondering, are you being forced to exercise more now that you're the front person for the MC5?
No, I'm not being forced to exercise.
Like, they're not making you do laps or anything like that?
No.
When you were interviewing Wayne Kramer for The Stranger, again, you can check.
I interviewed all three of them. I interviewed Glenn Dennis, too.
Were there any Seattle, and you can check it out, thestranger.com, were there any Seattle MC5 connections? Because I heard that, like, Rob Tyner actually took a shit on stage in Seattle years ago.
You know, I think you're confusing that with either Gigi Allen or Alice Cooper. Or maybe Jethro Tull.
So have you ever, in all your years of rock and roll, ever...
You know, I heard Rod Stewart took a shit on stage and then had his stomach pumped full of cum just for the hell of it.
Well, that's what I was wondering about, Mark Arm. Have you ever seen anybody ever shit on stage? Like, did you see Gigi shit on stage?
I've avoided Gigi Allen concerts willfully.
How about for Seattle MC5 connections? Were there any Seattle? Because they did play in Seattle. Did you get to the bottom?
They did. They did. The 1968 opening for Jethro Tull, the aforementioned onstage shit eater.
And you are Mark Arm of the shit-eating MC5, coming to the Richards on Richards.
The MC5 does not eat shit. The MC5 makes other bands eat shit.
Ba-boom. What have you learned about the MC5, Mark Arm? What have you learned about the MC5? I have not seen the MC5 movie. We haven't got it up here to Canada. What were some stuff from that movie that you learned about them?
I hadn't seen a whole lot of MC5 footage before then, so I learned that they were an intense live rock band. You know, I kind of knew that already, but seeing it's a lot different than just hearing it on kick-up jams.
I guess what I was wondering, Mark Arm of Mudhoney, singing for MC5, was, regarding the MC5, is it true that the FBI filmed the MC5? The FBI
yep.
filmed the MC5, and then some of that footage is actually in the documentary?
It's in the documentary, and it's also, and there's a DVD that they're selling now called, I think, The Sonic Revolution, in which they filmed the first of these sort of DKT MC5 concerts in London, and then some of the extra stuff is all of the FBI surveillance footage and BBC documentary on the MC5 and some other stuff, I guess.
I just think that's amazing. FBI footage of the MC5. How good cameramen were they?
From the footage I've seen, they were adequate. You know, they had the MC5 in their sights.
And this was...
They didn't really, like, know when to... You know, like, when the guitar lead was happening, they didn't focus in on, like, the fingers of Fred Smith or Wayne Kramer. You know, they didn't really have, you know, like, kind of a MTV video sense.
Was it film? Was it 16mm? Was it pretty good quality?
I think it was like 8mm. 8mm? Maybe 16mm. They're probably being kind of sneaky. You know, so you had to probably use small cameras.
And that was at the Democratic Convention of 68? Is that when they were filmed, or were they filmed other places too?
Well, as far as I know, the footage that I saw was in Chicago during the Democratic National Convention out there on the lawn.
Mark Arm.
You know what they did? You know what their power source for that show was?
No.
In the park? It was the hot dog stand. There was no other power around, and the hot dog stand was just kind of plugged into something, and they said, can we use your same outlet? And they powered the whole band from a hot dog stand.
That's great. And you are Mark Arm of the MC5 and of Mudhoney and of the Monkey Wrench and of Green River and of many other assorted bands from the Northwest. And Mark Arm, I wanted to ask quickly here about the MC5 in the sense of, like, Iggy Pop had David Bowie, right?
Right.
You know, David Bowie helped out Iggy Pop. Who helped out the MC5? How come they didn't have more help?
Like, no one did.
Yeah, because I was thinking John Lennon. Wasn't John Lennon supportive of John Sinclair, the MC5's manager? Was John Lennon into the MC5? Did anybody try to help them in the way that, you know, Bowie helped Iggy?
No one did.
What was it like, though, for the MC5 playing all these shows? Was it frustrating that nobody was helping them? Did they know it was all going to self-destruct? Because I know the band ended with only, like...
Well, you know, when Bowie came around to Iggy's aid, it was, like, several years later. It was, like, the mid-70s, like, 76, 77, something like that. You know, the MC5 broke up in 72, I believe. And they were pretty fractured and splintered apart at that point. I don't think any amount of help could have done anything to them at that time.
Mark, when the MC5 were opening for bands, like...
I can't hear you right now.
Okay.
There's a big truck right next to the bus and... Hello?
I'm still there? I'm still here. Hello, hello, hello. We're speaking here to Mark Arm on a CB radio somewhere in Portland, Oregon.
Hello?
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, are you...
This dead air thing is bullshit.
That's perfectly okay, Mark Arm. Can you hear me, Mark Arm?
Yes, I can.
Let's tell the listeners again who you are.
Now I can't. You're cutting out.
Okay, you are Mark Arm of the MC5.
Yes, I am Mark Arm, and you are Nardwar.
You're phoning from a CB-type cell phone, heading to Portland, but of course the MC5 are coming to Vancouver, Richards on Richards, this Sunday night.
Portland and Seattle are just pit stops on their way to the ultimate goal of Vancouver.
I wanted to ask you again, Mark Arm. Speaking over, bend over. Speaking of swearing.
Can we shut that window?
Is it true that the MC5 were the first band to say motherfucker on the radio? Were the MC5 the first band to say motherfucker on the radio? Or, sorry, to have it on their record?
I would assume they were the first band to have the word motherfucker on a record, yeah.
And they got in big trouble for that. Like, they had to kind of change it. And they had that giant ad that said, fuck Hudson's. Like, we don't want Hudson's, we don't like Hudson's because they won't stock our record. Is Hudson's department store still around?
No.
When the MC5, Mark Arm, were opening for bands at the Grand Ballroom, have any of the guys told you about any run-ins they've had with any bands? I understand they had a run-in with the band Cream, like they actually threw Cream at Cream. What did the other bands think of them?
I think Cream told Russ Gibb, who runs the MC5, who ran the Grandy Ballroom, that the MC5 were insolent.
And are the MC5 still insolent? How have your dealings been with them?
They're fairly insolent. Yeah.
Because you're a nice guy, Mark Arm. Thank you again. And winding up here, thank you for phoning into the Nardwar to Human Serviette radio show. I appreciate it.
Thank you for calling me so I could phone in.
I mean, you're a nice guy. I mean, have you turned sour now that you're part of the MC5? Have you got meaner and tougher and more insolent?
No, I'm still sweet as honey.
Have the guys in MC5...
I'm like a honey-glazed yam.
So you're getting better. You're getting better then, Mark Arm.
I guess so.
And you were Mark Arm of the MC5 slash MKT. We're playing...
DKT slash MC5.
Oh, God, it's so confusing playing Sunday night at Richards on Richards.
You know, when we were doing the Craig Kilborn show, they introduced us as DMT MC5. And Wayne stopped and goes, we're not DMT. DMT's a drug. And Evan goes, yeah, it's really freaky. It lasts a half an hour and it really blows your mind.
Ba-boom. What if the rest of the guys in the band told you about Iggy? Have you learned anything about Iggy? Because I heard that, like, the MC5 saved Iggy's life quite a few times. You know, like, Iggy was about to die and they'd inject him with heroin and stuff.
I don't know anything about
it. Mark Arm, how about Courtney Love? Have you run into Courtney Love at all? Are you still there, Mark?
Again, later. Message OR0156. The subscriber you have dialed is not in service. If you feel you've received this message in error, please hang up and try your call again later.
As you can see, we've been disconnected with Mark Arm of the MC5, who are playing here Sunday night at Richards on Richards. Just as I was asking him about Courtney Love.
Please hang up and try your call.
Very, very, very confusing. So I thought, while we're waiting to reconnect with Marcus Arm, we would play a tiny little bit more of the MC5. I thought I would play the track Teenage Lust. Here's the MC5 with Teenage Lust, live on an Ardwater Human Serviette radio show, as we try to reconnect with Mark Arm, who, again, remember, was in Mudhoney and many other great bands, like the Green River and the Mr. Epp, but who was playing this Sunday with the MC5, the reformed MC5. Of course, Rob Tyner and Fred Sonic Smith are now dead. However, they're bringing in a whole new cast of people, and what I want to ask Mark about is the Courtney Love connection, because Evan Dando is also involved with the MC5, and if you put Evan Dando and Richards together, that means Courtney Love taking off her top. That's what she did a whole bunch of years ago when she visited Evan Dando at a Richards and Richards gig. So I was wondering if Courtney Love showed up at a gig in LA to go see the MC5. So while we is it worth reconnecting to ask that question? Hell yeah! Here's the MC5. Hello, are you there? Are you there, CBR? Are you there, CBR?
I am here, Nardwar. Mark Arm.
Thank you for letting me phone you back. And you are Mark Arm of Mudhoney and of the MC5. And I was just playing some Teenage...
Of the DKT MC5.
Of the DKT MC5 playing this Sunday.
Yeah, you don't want to confuse it with the actual MC5 because, you know... Rob and Fred are no longer with us.
Well, I was curious, though. What is sort of the set list? I played some Teenage Lust and some Call Me Animal. What are you guys playing? What sort of set list?
We play both those songs. Let me see if I can run through songs that we have been playing tonight. Poison, Ramblin' Rose, I Can Only Give You Everything, Over and Over, Sister Anne, Kick Out the Jams, of course. Shaken Street. High School.
All the hits.
Future Now. Starship. I Want You Right Now. Come Together.
How about Touch Me, I'm Sick? Touch Me, I'm Sick.
No. Baby Won't You. Skunk.
Thunder.
Yeah, gotta keep moving. I think that might be it or close to it.
How about Thunder Express?
No, we haven't done Thunder Express yet. We have rehearsed it, though.
Mark Arm, I wanted to ask you quickly about Courtney Love. And the reason I mention this is...
Why, man?
Well, Courtney Love seems to be infatuated with Evan Dando. The last time Evan Dando, only a couple of years ago, did a solo show in Vancouver, Courtney Love jumped up on stage and took off her top. This was at Richards on Richards, the very club that you're playing on Sunday night. I guess what I was wondering, did Courtney show up at all in Los Angeles for any of the gigs, Mark Arm?
Not that I was aware of.
How has Evan been working out? I read a quote that was saying Dando has been roundly panned and abused and showered with various hurled liquids at tour stops.
You know, I think that only happened like maybe the first couple of shows because he hadn't had a chance to go to as many rehearsals as I had. But lately people have been loving him. And as a matter of fact... After he sang Let Me Try in L.A., Fawn Hall, none other than Fawn Hall, formerly of Oliver North's secretary, and now who goes out with, she goes out with Danny Sugarman, approached Margaret Kramer, Wayne's wife, with tears in her eyes, saying that was the most beautiful thing she's ever heard.
That's incredible. Fawn, you, Mark Arm, attract...
That's the kind of fact that I know you would really appreciate.
Well, I was going to ask you, because you always attract these wild, sort of crazy Warholian people. Like, is it true that Mudhoney, you...
I do.
Yes, you do. You met Ron Reagan Jr. Didn't you meet Ron Reagan Jr. at one point?
Yeah. That was because he got a job with Fox TV, and he was doing a story on Seattle back in the heyday of the... Back in the heyday of the heyday.
Wow, Fawn Hall. That's an interesting audience. Who else is coming out to see the MC5? What is the sort of audience of people coming out? Because that's really quite an older demographic, isn't it?
Well, yeah. It ranges from, you know, old bald fat men to a young, svelte, future old bald fat men.
I've asked this to many, many people, Mark Arm, and I've never been able to get a straight answer. You're the one that told me about this. You told me that Stevie Nicks had cocaine blown up her ass. Is that true? I always ask people, but nobody knows. Where did
you know, I can't tell you for sure if it's true or not, but David Bianco, who will probably lose all his future jobs with Stevie Nicks, not that he has any, but he was... he mixed the second to the last record we did, Tomorrow Hit Today, and he, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm just really getting excited.
There was no background noise. I just figured the phone must have dropped out.
I know. It's truly amazing. This is the best part of the whole interview. Like, everything's quiet. We're going to finally get to the bottom of the Steve Nicks cocaine up ass.
The bottom of it, so to speak. and he worked, one of his early gigs as an engineer in L.A. was, for a Fleetwood Mac album that was after Tusk, maybe called The Miracle or something like that. I don't really know. But it was after they were already on the way to their popularity was definitely in the decline, but they were still spending shitloads of money in the studio and blown out of their brains on cocaine. And I asked him if that rumor was true, and he said yes.
Whoa.
Unequivocal yes.
Oh, that is amazing. I always learn stuff from you, Mark Arm. I always learn stuff. Fawn Hall. And you also told me about...
You know, I pride myself on being a rock and roll teacher.
And you also taught me a bit about Canada because you were saying how you're mad at the guys... You're mad at Steppenwolf because you were mad about that Behind the Music, weren't you?
I was mad at Behind the Music?
Yeah, because it just showed how the guy from Steppenwolf, John Kay, ripped off everybody else.
I was actually mad.
Well, you told me about that, how he ripped everybody else up. What are the connections between the MC5 and Toronto? You guys were in Toronto for, I think, North by Northeast. Did Wayne talk about any of the connections to Canada? Because Detroit, Windsor, that's like so close together, and I think Windsor Radio played a lot of the MC5.
56. The subscriber you have dialed is not in service. If you feel you've received this message in error, please hang up and try your call again later. Message OR 0156. The subscriber you have dialed is not in service.
At least we got to the bottom of the Stevie Nicks cocaine up ass thing. I knew this was coming. I knew I would get cut off. However, at least it didn't get cut off then. Although I would kind of know more about the Detroit, Canada connection. I'm going to try one more time to reconnect with Marcus Arm of the Mudhoney / MC5, who are playing here. This is the MC5 this Sunday night at Richards and Richards with the Nasty on. And here's another snippet of the MC5. We're going to check out the tune Tonight.
All right, kids. Let's get together and have a ball.
Are you there, caller?
Are you talking to me or some other caller?
I'm talking to you, caller. Are you caller? You, Mark Arm, are you there, caller?
I'm caller number one.
You are the one and only caller today. Actually, you're number two. Hans Klaus was caller number one. You're caller number two. Thank you very much for phoning into the Nardwuar Human Serviette radio show. Really appreciate it, Mark. Anything else you want to add to the people out there about the gig that's happening on Sunday? Any more information about the MC5?
I think I already told you that Joey Shithead's guesting.
Yes.
Or scheduled to guest.
And Evan Dando, you said, is on guest vocals as well, right?
You're cutting out.
Evan Dando is on guest vocals as well.
Yes. Evan and myself are doing the whole tour.
And what song was it that made Fawn Hall cry again? I just want to check. Maybe I can play it.
It was Let Me Try. I'll be your singer, you'll be my song. I'm back in the USA.
You know what? I don't have it here. I do not have it here. Is there any...
You don't have a copy of Back in the USA there?
I don't.
What kind of commie fucking Canadian fascist are you?
I'm sorry, I only brought the one I got free from Rhino. It's somewhere in the vaults, but I couldn't find it. I thought the greatest hits would do. But this actually does show something. It shows how obscure you guys are going. This is great.
You don't have Back in the USA. We're going to be up there during the 4th of July. This is our fucking 4th of July. We're spending it in Canada, and you don't even have Back in the USA. It's the most patriotic day of the year. And, hello?
I do have...
Is this thing on?
I do. Yes, I'm still... Over. Bend over. Are you there, Roger? Roger. Breaker. Are you there, Mark Arm?
I'm here.
We do actually have Back in the USA. I do have Back in the USA. I do have the Back in the USA on the song Back in the USA.
Oh, you know who sang Back in the USA in San Francisco?
No, I don't.
Roy Loney.
Wow, a flaming groovy connection.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Mark Arm. Really appreciate you phoning in to the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show.
It was my pleasure to have you call me. Thank you.
Just about Canada, though, are there any connections between the MC5 and Canada that you heard of? Like, how did your time in Toronto go, or have the guys talked about Canada at all?
Well, you know, our guitar tech Hugo is originates from the Quebec area, Montreal.
Drummondville.
Oh, that's very hockey like.
It's very hockey-like.
Yes, I think they make...
And the very first show that we did in the tour was Toronto. We had 2 days of rehearsal in Toronto. John Kastner was at the show in Toronto, and he was also at the show in L.A. and in New York. He seems to be stalking us.
That's a Doughboys guy, right?
Yeah.
And Joey Shithead will be joining you this Sunday night at Richards on Richards.
Sunday.
Well, thank you very much, Marcus Arm, and I will end with Back in the USA, because you're playing here on American Independence Day. On the 4th of the 4th of July.
Which is good.
Well, thanks so much. I'll see you at the gig, and keep on rocking in the free world, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Kick out the jams, motherfuckers!
Almost, Mark Arm. Doot doot a loot doo.
Doot doot.
Alright. Thanks so much. Talk to you later.
Alright, bye.
Bye. And we have as a little reward for people that have listened to this interview all the way through. For the fourth caller through, we have, because number four rules, a free ticket to the gig. You and a guest get to go see the MC5.